This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
We are going to enshrine eight more members of the NFL Hall of Fame over the weekend, and their lives will change forever. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, of course, presented by Progressive Insurance. His name is Jordan Renan. My name is Braden Gall, in for the guys. Glad to have you hanging out with us here. And again, Hall of Fame ceremonies coming up tomorrow, noon Eastern time. Offensive tackle Tony Boselli, wide receiver Cliff Branch, safety Leroy Butler, who invented the Lambeau Leap, linebacker Sam Mills, defensive lineman Richard Seymour, Bryant Young, Art McNally, the official, and of course, head coach Dick Vermeil, all going in to the Hall of Fame over the weekend. Jordan, anything in particular? Which player's speech are you most looking forward to when they all step up to the podium and deliver their soliloquies about their careers and their accomplishments, which really is an extraordinary experience this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought Tony Boselli belonged in the Hall. It took a little longer, I think, than most expected. So I'm interested to hear him speak. And also Leroy Butler, a guy who is just universally pretty much well-liked, it seems.
Yeah.
And just seems like a good guy. Like, I'm interested to hear his take on being inducted. And, of course, Dick Vermeil. I mean, you know, Dick Vermeil, when he speaks, he's the kind of guy that makes you stop and listen to him. And, you know he's going to get emotional. That's his thing.
Yep.
And it's going to be a great speech. And I've heard him speak before. He's terrific. So I can't wait to hear that. I've been there for that weekend once. It's actually a pretty cool weekend. You ever been down there for that?
I have been up to the actual Hall of Fame itself, but I've not been for the weekend. Tell us exactly sort of when you sit down and you're ready to go with that event, with that part of the event, because you know that's the part that we all are waiting for, right? Like, obviously there's lots of cool stuff for the kids and everything, but
it's long. I mean, like, as you'd imagine, like, it's long. You have all these guys, all these speeches, all the honorary stuff going on. It's a long day, so you almost kind of like come and go. I think you like sit down, you get up, you move around, like you come, oh, I'm gonna listen to his speech, I want to listen to his speech, and it's a long day. I remember I was there for Michael Strahan's induction ceremony. The Giants played in a Hall of Fame game that year against the Bills. Tom Coughlin actually was a really random scene after the Hall of Fame game there, like they had last night. Tom Coughlin's trying to do his post game press conference on the field, so they set up like a makeshift like background for him. And the Bills fans, they played the Bills in the game, like surround the little makeshift like podium that they set up. And they're just harassing Tom Coughlin, yelling like, "Coughlin, you suck," while he's trying to do a post-game press conference following a preseason game. It was one of the most awkward things ever. They were chanting at him, 7-9, Coughlin, because the Giants, I think, had gone 7-9 year before. Which, by the way, Coughlin and the Giants would take at this point, because I don't think they went 7-9. They've been worse than 7-9 every year since, except for 1 year, 2016. So, yeah.
So two observations on this. First of all, you cannot take Bills Mafia anywhere. You just can't. They're like 3 year old.
No, they just took over.
You can't take them anywhere.
Andre Reed was getting into the Hall of Fame that year, also. That's what it was. So Bills Mafia just made the drive over, and they dominated that weekend, and that was one of the main things you noticed, is that they took over because their guy, Andre Reed, was getting in.
Right. Does Coughlin then not, like, just reach into his pocket, put on a few rings, and just point? Be like, "Look, dude, this right here was 9-7.
Well, if you know Tom
9-7 got us to this ring.
Exactly. If you know Tom Coughlin, this get you, all this kind of stuff, any kind of distraction just gets his blood pressure to rise.
It's true.
That and me showing up and asking him, because I showed up way after the Super Bowl. It was me asking him every year, like, or every week, if he was going to retire, like, "Hey, I'm the new guy here. Let me just ask you if you're going to retire. You're 69 years old. You're 70 years old. You're 68 years old. You're going to retire anytime soon?"
Yeah.
He did not like that.
Did he ever tell you to show up 5 minutes early? Is that what, like, you're late?
No, but he called me the guy in the pink shirt for 2 years. Like, he used to say to the PR guy, "Who's this guy in a pink shirt?"
That's a badge of honor, man.
I wore a pink shirt once. I still kept the shirt now, too, just for, like, memory's sake. It's in my closet. I told him it wasn't pink. It was salmon, though.
Jordan Renan, Braden Gall here. I will say, on filling in for the guys, Barton Hahn, Richard Seymour, I think, is a really thoughtful guy. I think that's going to be an interesting conversation. I'm with you on Tony Boselli. I think Leroy Butler, who's kind of got this like pseudo media career going post, he's like just sort of made himself relevant in the state of Wisconsin for a long time. And I'll be very transparent here. My grandfather, my father, myself, we were all born in Madison, Wisconsin. My dad was, you know, grew up on the Ice Bowl and grew up in the 60s with the Packers. And so for Leroy Butler to get in, the guy who literally invented the Lambeau Leap and played such a huge role on that championship team in 96, I think is, to your point, how many players are as universally and you know liked and beloved across all fan bases as Leroy Butler?
Every time he opines, it catches my attention, and I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I want to hear what he has to say. Like,
right,
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what it is about him. It always grabs me, brings me in.
I had a couple opportunities to meet him throughout my career, and he's as good a dude as you'd expect. So going to be a lot of guys. Again, Tony Boselli, Cliff Branch, Leroy Butler, Sam Mills, Richard Seymour, Bryant Young, Dick Vermeil, Art McNally, all going in to the Hall of Fame noon Eastern time on Saturday. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. If you're a renter, make sure you're protected. Renter's insurance includes options that cover stolen property, personal injury, and living expenses if your place is damaged. Quote renter's insurance at progressive.com. Jordan Renan, Braden Gall in for Barton Hahn here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. And let's – John Madden, of course, with all the amazing things he's accomplished throughout his career in so many different ways – one of the most memorable, of course, was his speech going into the Hall of Fame. And I've got a question for you just a second, but let's hear John Madden. We're going to let John Madden, the great voice of the video game, set it all up for us. This was from his Hall of Fame speech.
I think over in the Hall of Fame that during the day the people go through and they look at everything. And then at night there's a time when they all leave and all the fans and all the visitors leave the Hall of Fame. Then there's just the workers. Then the workers start to leave. And then it gets down, there's just one person. And that person turns out the light, locks the door. I believe that the busts talk to each other.
That was John Madden from his Hall of Fame speech. He believes the busts talk to each other. They tell their war stories. When all is gone and the lights are down, it's very much like a Simpsons episode with all the heads in the jars. They're all just in there talking to each other. All right. Which bust do you want to have a conversation with, Jordan? Which one?
See, if that's the case, and they all start talking to each other, they all huddle around. And in the middle, giving them a speech, is Vince Lombardi.
No question.
There's no doubt in my mind. Like, you want to hear from – first of all, I'd love to hear – Vince Lombardi, if his view on today's game with how much it's changed. But then, like, some of, you know, his Lombardi-isms, like, show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser. Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. Like, I could just hear him preaching to the guys. And you know who the other guy that pops to my head is when I say this? John Randall. Remember John Randall?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's, like, the ultimate trash talker, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I remember about John Randall. The legend is he never shut up. So, John, I could see John Randall just talking trash to everybody in there. Like, I'm going to dominate you, Anthony Munoz.
But is there, do they put, like, Randall in another room because they're all tired of hearing him talk? Like, how does the hierarchy of bust behavior work in the Hall of Fame after the lights go down and it's all closed? And, like, can Lombardi still yell at you if you don't execute the route, if you don't have a body,
right,
and you don't have legs? Like, I'm sure he would. There's no question about it.
I mean, if he's talking, that's what's going on, right? I mean,
he's coaching
you
up.
He's not going to sit there. Yeah, he's not going to sit there and tell you how great you were the whole time.
I do think that, to your point about Lombardi, and like one of the names that struck me was Jim Thorpe, just not because he's a name that we all know and he's super famous, but like to be able to hear, what I find fascinating is how the game has evolved and how the game has changed and how football today is so much different than even just 2005 and then 1995 and 1965, and it's just so different. But to go back to 1915, a guy who this guy played for Pop Warner.
he
didn't play Pop Warner. He played for Pop Warner. That's a different deal altogether.
Just to hear what the game was like back then?
Yes. And listen, he's the first Native American to win an Olympic medal. He won 2 gold medals. He played 6 years in baseball. He had 252 in Major League Baseball while also being an NFL player, an Olympian. And, oh, by the way, get this, a head coach in the NFL too. So, I want to know.
That's a pretty good career, you know.
Right. What else? What haven't you done there, Jimmy?
Yeah.
I think what's interesting is I love the perspective because this is what we get into with arguments, whether it's Jordan, LeBron, or Johnny Unitas versus, you know, Tom Brady or whatever. The games are so different. And to hear someone explain what it was like in 1920 what football was like in 1920, I think would be one of the most fascinating discussions you could ever have. So please, Jim Thorpe's bust, come alive at night and tell me what it was like to play football in 1917. Like, I would like to know. I think that would be interesting.
I'm pretty sure he wouldn't be complaining if the when the defensive end comes around the end and hits the quarterback, and you know, it's like he touched his face mask and got called for a penalty. Pretty sure that wasn't the case when Jim Thorpe was playing football.
Your reference,
touched,
of course,
the quarterback's face mask, it would be all right.
Your reference, of course, Jordan Renan, Braden Gall here on Barton Hahn. The reference, of course, is Trayvon Walker, the number one overall pick out of Georgia for Jacksonville last night, briefly grazed the helmet of the Raiders quarterback on one of his first plays. And
Jared Stidham
got a penalty for it. Pride of Auburn Tiger University, Auburn University there. Interesting. That's the kind of stuff I want to know. Because, like, again, you hear about Ronnie Lott cutting off a finger. You know what I mean? Like,
that,
if you are under the age of 30, you just don't know.
You got to read that story. You got to go read that story about Ronnie Lott cutting off his finger.
You have to study.
Talk about a guy who is dedicated.
Study Vince Lombardi if you love football. Study him. Like, don't, you know, this is the game is so different. And, again, Boselli, Cliff Branch, Leroy Butler, Sam Mills, Richard Seymour, Bryant Young, all going into the Hall of Fame on Saturday, noon Eastern time. I'll throw one more out there just because I love the guy. And I feel like you should be wanting to talk to a bust of a player who has passed. But Jerry Kramer has not passed. But Jerry Kramer, you talk about a guy who was a tough son of a gun, man. That guy had literal, like, board splinters pulled out of his body and then was, like, at practice 2 weeks later. Like, this guy, just an extraordinary guy, written, like, multiple books. I think Jerry Kramer, one of the most underrated parts of that Packers dynasty. And how about this?
You're looking for his book, actually. As you said that, I was like, you don't have that book somewhere.
He's incredibly interesting dude. Very nice guy. How about this? 1958 draft class for the Green Bay Packers. You want a random stat of the day?
Okay.
Three Hall of Famers in one draft. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if an NFL GM today drafted three Hall of Famers in one draft?
Were they all early rounds? Because I know they had like a gazillion rounds, right, at some point in the draft.
I think it was like fourth, seventh, and eighth. So don't quote me on that. But it was
so
Jim
not
Tate.
Like yeah, you're your first three guys.
Yeah. Ray
Instant
Nitschke.
Replay. That's what it was called. Instant Replay. That was his book.
Yep. And then I think
I found
distant,
it in my bookshelf.
I think Distant Replay was another one. I believe it was Jerry Kramer, Jim Taylor, and Ray Nitschke all drafted in one class. That is extraordinary work by the GM at the time.
Yeah.
Good work there. Barton Hahn, of course, ESPN Radio, Jordan Renan, Braden Gall in for the guys. So Hall of Fame ceremony coming up tomorrow. Which Hall of Fame bust, of course, would you most like to have a conversation with? 888-729-3776. We've also talked a lot about quarterbacks under pressure. And I want to take your calls here momentarily, 888-729-3776. But I want to know what you think, Jordan. The quarterback under the most pressure in 2022 is who?
Tua Tagovailoa for me. I mean, they already tried to replace him multiple times, right? You get the Brady stuff coming out again recently. That just reiterates the fact that they've been looking to replace him. And remember, this guy was a top five pick. Mm-hmm. So he was a top five pick. The general manager who drafted him, who decided that we're going to invest our whole franchise basically in Tua Tagovailoa as his quarterback, has now continuously tried to replace him. Now he's here. They actually have a good team around him. They got the weapons, right? They have Tyreek Hill. They have Jalen Waddle, Mike Gesicki. Like, their offensive line, they're hoping is better. Like, no excuses. He's in the no-excuse category, too. If he doesn't show this year that he's a quality, high-end type quarterback, they're going to move on from Tua Tagovailoa. And he's one of those guys, even more so than Daniel Jones, because I feel like Daniel Jones has those natural skills, right? Natural ability. He's tall. He fits the prototype of a quarterback. He's tall. He actually can run. He has a good arm. Like, he'll get an opportunity. Someone can see it. Tua might not get that other opportunity to come in. All right, we're going to, like, give you a real opportunity to be a starter. Like, if he fails this year, there might not be that other opportunity out there for Tua. Doesn't have the biggest arm. He's not specifically tall. Like, these things will work against him if it doesn't work this year in Miami. So, to me, it's him.
It's a good case. That's a good case. There's legacy pressure, Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott and those types of guys. There's legacy pressure, and then there's bank account pressure. And there's job security pressure.
Second contract, that's all that matters in the NFL.
Bingo. That is Daniel Jones. To your point, that is Tua. I'm with you on that. I will go with Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia.
Jalen Hurts, absolutely.
Philadelphia, they go get A.J. Brown. They've got Devontae Smith. They make the playoffs. There are expectations. And I think half that fan base still just isn't sure, right? It's the same thing that Miami fans are dealing
with.
The
Eagles aren't sure. They loaded up with three first-round draft picks just in case.
Bingo. And so you are faced with, if you do well and you perform and you continue to get better and they are even better this year and they make the playoffs and they go further in the playoffs and A.J. Brown has a great year, your best friend that you recruited from Tennessee, and all this stuff happens, you're talking $200 million. You could make yourself $200 million, or they could decide you're not the answer and we're going to use one of those first-round picks. That to me, is the type of pressure that outweighs the legacy pressure, because it is real human stuff. It is bank account pressure. 888-729-3776. He's got Tua. I got Hurts. Those are the two quarterbacks that we've got under the most pressure. Who do you have? Let's go to Pete in Minneapolis. Pete, welcome to Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Thanks, guys. Jordan, I'm going to throw something at you here. There's a top five quarterback who has a sub 500 record and no playoff appearances. And he has a worse winning percentage than Tua. His name is Justin Herbert, who's had Austin Eckler and Mike Williams and Keenan Allen for his whole career. And he plays in the toughest division in all football. It's entirely possible that they have a really solid season and still maybe have to play a road wild card game. I think there's more pressure on Justin Herbert, given that he is a transcendent talent and has great statistics. If they don't win a playoff game this year, can you have a top five pick without any playoff appearances?
And see, I understand your point, and it's well taken. The only difference, and this is why I would put Tua ahead of him, is because Justin Herbert, like you said, can have a good season, not make the playoffs even. He's not going anywhere. There will be plenty more opportunities for him. The money's still going to be there for Justin Herbert, because everybody is already basically sold that he's that franchise guy that they would build around. So therefore, yes, he ultimately will need to do it, but it doesn't have to be this year for Justin Herbert. Whereas Tua, if it's not this year, they're going to replace him. Yep. They've already tried.
Multiple times, yeah. Let me ask you this, Jordan, following up with Herbert. If they do not make the playoffs, or if they lose in the first round, let's say, where on the list of things is it going to be Justin Herbert's fault? How far down the list? It's going to be, the administration, the head coach, the defense.
If he plays the way he did last year, then he's not going to be at the top of the list. Because let's be honest, he was dynamic. He was spectacular most of last year. And can you nitpick some of the stuff? Absolutely. If that happens, he'll be the modern-day Peyton Manning. Right, because you remember that was always Peyton can't win the big game forever,
right?
But he was that good already, and everybody still was giving him his due. This guy, everybody knew he was a stud. He was one of the best players in the league, even though he didn't win. Yeah, the pressure was on him to win, and you knew you just had the feeling eventually he was going to win. I feel like Herbert is in that range. Not saying he's as good as Peyton.
There is 0% chance that the Chargers move on from Justin Herbert.
Yeah,
0%.
Agreed.
Whereas Hurts, Jones, and Tua could all be on a different team next year. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Where they're not a starter, by the way.
Where they're
a backup.
Right.
There's a big difference there. Yep. They won't get – look, it's hard to win in this league. Aaron Rodgers is a great, great player, all-time great player. He has won Super Bowl, right, in close to 20 years now. I guess he didn't play the first few years, but you get the point.
Right.
He has won Super Bowl. It's hard to win. You know, but if you keep getting opportunities, eventually you'll have success if you're really good. And that'll be the case with Justin Herbert. We don't know if that's the case with any of those other three guys. Tua, Daniel Jones, Jalen Hurts. I mean, there's other guys that we could probably put in that category as well.
For sure. Mr. Black in New Orleans, you are on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Welcome to the show, Mr. Black. How are you?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Man?
Thank you for accepting my call.
Absolutely.
I hate to say it. I'm from New Orleans, and the person under most pressure, even though he had an injury just last year, but he was the number one draft pick. He'd never been to the playoff, and he planned for a contract. Jameson.
Yeah.
You don't think Jameson?
Jameson.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, number one pick. Yep, number one pick now.
Okay.
There's a lot of merit to that. Think about it. He fits all the criteria that we just mentioned, Braden.
What an interesting career path.
Yeah, and he's right. There's not other opportunities sitting out there for Jameis Winston if it doesn't go well this year. Like as a starter?
Yeah. Yeah,
he's got to be right up there.
That's, I mean, his bank account's a little bit safer than some of those other guys we're talking about because he's been around a little bit longer. But
we're talking about career wise.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
Everything's on the line for him. This is make or break for him. Jones and Tua could even get more opportunities. Those kind of guys. Jameis Winston's pretty much out of opportunities. I wouldn't argue with that if somebody said that was their number one guy. Not at all.
You combine the legacy conversation and the bank account conversation with Jameis Winston, right? Like, even though legacy's not the same level as Dak Prescott and some of these other guys, it's a little different type of conversation. And certainly Jameis Winston has his own different chapters on his Wikipedia page, right, that are going to be a part of his career story at the end of it. But, I can be on board with that. I can put him on the list for sure. Not a name I necessarily thought of first right off the bat. So,
it's a good one.
It is a good one. Jordan Renan, Braden Gall, in for the guys, Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, of course, and on your smart speaker as well. Next on Bart and Hahn, the latest headlines from around the NFL, including Deshaun Watson. That is all next right here on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
We've got some news in the Deshaun Watson situation, and NFL camps are open. The preseason is here. This is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. He is Jordan Renan. I am Braden Gall, and we are in for the guys today. Honored to be here on a Hall of Fame football weekend. Technically, yes, Jordan, it is football. There is actual football taking place this weekend, so whether it is pretty to watch is not the point. It's not the point. Not the point. The point
I'm
is
going
I
to watch a scrimmage later, by the way.
The point is I can say to my wife, there's a football game on television, leave me alone. That's what I can say on Saturday. And
you
can
bet on it.
I can.
And you can bet on these things.
And if I was a degenerate, I could bet
on it. If you were a true, yeah.
I could bet on it. Try the $45 silver unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G on America's best network, Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G-capable device required. Actual availability and coverage and speeds may vary. See, I compromise all spring and summer with my wife so that I don't have to compromise, just like with Straight Talk Wireless, in the fall where I get to watch football all weekend.
And that's good planning.
I say, wife and children, I love you very dearly. I'll see you in January, okay? I'll see you guys in January. Sometimes it goes over well.
I'm sure that goes over really well, by the way.
Sometimes
like when
it
I'm
does.
In the middle of dinner, I'm like, sorry, you're in charge. I got to go. There's news.
Listen,
see you later.
Somebody has to entertain the nation, Jordan. Somebody has to entertain the nation, okay?
I know. Right? I know we're dealing with such serious stuff here.
It falls to us.
Serious matters.
Such as Aaron Rodgers going to South America and enjoying ayahuasca in the offseason. Again, we'll see if it helps him. Listen, Jeremy Fowler joining us here from ESPN, of course, senior NFL reporter. Has been all over the country, crisscrossing the nation, visiting camps all across. I know he was here in Nashville over the week, and he's been in Indianapolis and Baltimore and Arizona. Jeremy, welcome to the show. Let's start with the Colts, and you were in Indianapolis recently. How does Matt Ryan look? How does the arm look? How does the quarterback position look relative to what the Colts have been dealing with, the revolving door, the last few years?
Yeah, Braden, I would say the arm looks about as I expected, you know, really from what you've seen the last year or two. You know, he's not going to be firing at 75 yards off his left foot like Josh Allen or one of those guys, but it's adequate. You know, he's got adequate arm strength. Looked like he made all the throws that he needed to. A couple deep balls, but nothing crazy. You know, I think you're really just going to see an offense that operates in that short to intermediate range with the occasional deep ball mixed in. You know, Alec Pierce, their rookie, I saw him do a lot of vertical routes, big, strong, fast guy. That's going to be one to watch. But they'll take their shots. It's going to be a lot of the typical Matt Ryan that you see. No real decline, but nothing different from what was on tape with the Falcons.
We'll go over to Cincinnati where you were as well. And you look at the Bengals. They kind of popped up on everyone last year, right? They surprised a lot of people. And now you look this year, you know, their star safety, Jesse Bates, he's not there. Joe Burrow had a surgery with appendicitis, I believe it was. Is this team set up for sustained success? Like, when you look at them and you look at what they have on the field right now?
Absolutely. You know, I was talking to Zach Taylor this morning, and I was asking him if he had any, like, sleeper playmakers or guys who were sort of emerging. And it's almost like he couldn't think of – I mean, he could think of somebody, but it's like they're way deep down the depth chart because he's got three star wide receivers and Joe Mixon. And they add Hayden Hurst. So, like, the offense with Joe Burrow operating it is going to be pretty smooth just because of the playmakers they have. So, it's, you know, you go to most camps and they got like seven or eight receivers that they're talking about because they're trying to get an answer, you know, trying to get like a legitimate third or fourth guy, where the Bengals already have that. So, you know, they're really set up for success if the defense can kind of hang tight the way they did last year. And, you know, they're a little young in spots, like linebacker. Still have to prove the offensive line and the additions they made is going to hold up. But really, those are the only major question marks right now.
Jeremy Fowler joining us here, ESPN senior NFL reporter, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, Jordan Renan and Braden Gall in for the guys. And Jeremy, you were here in Nashville, and you know, Jordan's not a believer in the Titans. I think they're one of the most underrated teams. Obviously, the AFC is incredibly loaded. We've already just talked about a few of them. Is this a defending championship divisional team that you've seen so far, or is it a team that's taking a step back?
You know, it's interesting being in Tennessee. I talked to at least one person that when I mentioned I'd been to the Colts. They're like, oh yeah, you know, the AFC South champion, kind of jokingly, because, you know, the Titans know that they're the defending champs and they're the one that were winning those big games last year, but yet the Colts get a lot of the hype. So I think that they like being that underrated team that nobody thinks is going to win 11 or 12 games, and then they end up doing it, you know? So they certainly have the makings to do it again. They have probably more options on offense, even though they have to sort of make up for the loss of A.J. Brown by committee. You know, they're not going to have that standout guy, but I think you're going to see the ball spread out a little more. I will say that the Titans are really happy with Ryan Tannehill right now. I know he ended the year on a sour note last year. They think he's had an outstanding camp and looks like he's got an edge to him, and that the way last year ended pissed him off.
Interesting. Another team that we'd look at in regards to the quarterback, I'm wondering, I know you talk to people around the league, what are people making of this whole Matthew Stafford elbow thing?
Hey, Jordan, I lost you there. Can you say that again?
I said, what are people thinking of this? You talk to people around the league. What are they thinking about the whole Matthew Stafford and his elbow and arm and whether that's going to be something that they have to deal with throughout this season?
Yeah, it's kind of an ominous thing people are trying to really make sense of, to be honest. You know, elbow tendonitis is not something to mess with. It appears that that's what that is. You know, the Rams aren't really playing their card there yet. But there's a feeling, too, that, you know, Matthew Stafford, he's had a lot of injuries. So is the body going to hold up? You know, but that at the same note, it's smart for McVay to hold him out because this time of year the reps don't mean a whole lot for a guy that's proven. So, you know, they'll play it slowly with him. It's interesting. When I was in Lions camp, I was asking Jared Goff a little bit about just like these quarterbacks and some of the arm issues you do hear about, like Trey Lance had arm fatigue. It was more of like, from what I understand, like a shoulder bicep issue than like an elbow issue. But you see it a lot, you know, where guys have to rest a little more, deload, so to speak. You know, he was a little surprised by it because he's like, I've never had any issues. And, you know, I throw the ball all the time. So I guess it just depends on the guy. But it's sort of alarming. There's like an arm care problem league-wide. I think there's one other guy that's had some of the same issues where he gets rest. Kyler Murray, I think it was. He had a rest day the other day just to take the load off his arm. So because these guys are so valuable, I think you're going to see more and more quarterbacks sit out.
Jeremy Fowler joining us here, ESPN senior NFL reporter, and you were in Baltimore. And I think certainly there's the contract conversation with Lamar Jackson that's interesting, what they're going to do with the offense and the supporting cast around him. This is a team that was under 500 but has a chance to win the division this year, depending on who you love, if you love Cincinnati, if Watson plays. Like, what is the attitude and the vibe and the expectation around that Baltimore Ravens team?
Well, they always kind of have that edge to them and feel like they're a little underrated, kind of like the Titans. You feel that. They kind of like that Lamar Jackson gets criticized nationally, either from the media, from anonymous quotes. Like, they sort of revel in that, because he's a guy they really believe in. They probably feel better about their wide receiver core than the rest of the league or that the media does. So they're eager to show that. And, really, they know they have some questions, too. I mean, you got some questions along the offensive line. The defense really fell apart at the end of last year in the secondary, though they feel like they've addressed that. So they got some moving parts they have to address. But for the most part, they feel like they'll be right where they usually are, which is in the hunt in the AFC North.
Jeremy Fowler, ESPN senior NFL reporter. Jeremy, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Hey, thanks, guys. Anytime.
Appreciate Absolutely. It, Jeremy.
Jeremy Fowler there.
Working Matt Ryan's arms jumper.
Matt Ryan's arms okay, it's apparently. You got Ryan Tannehill's pissed off for greatness. You got arm issues with Stafford. We got the Ravens think they're better than everybody else. There's a lot of good stuff there from Jeremy. Always a great follow, of course, on the .com as well as on the Twitter sphere as well. Speaking of Matt Stafford and the world champs, we'll dive more into the Rams situation. How concerned should they be with Matthew Stafford's arm? Easy for me to say. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN app. Jordan Renan, Braden Gall in for the guys. Which quarterback is under the most pressure as we enter the 2022 season? I got that right. Didn't sound right for a second there.
It does go into 2023 nowadays, though. You know that. It would have been fine. It's kind of like the best college basketball season. We have to see 2022. Yeah. So it works.
The Super Bowl will, in fact, be played in 2023.
Not even the regular season ends in 2023.
That's true. Which quarterback under the most pressure? Of course, you've got Tua. I've got Jalen Hurts. There's bank account implications, and there's legacy pressure. I think the bank account pressure is much bigger. Richard in Queens wants to chime in. Richard, welcome to ESPN Radio.
Fellas, how you doing this morning? I agree. I have Jalen Hurts, and I don't think it's that close. If you look at the teams with the young quarterbacks, which team is in the best position to upgrade their quarterback if their incumbent fails? And it's got to be the Eagles with those two first-round picks. What do you guys think?
I totally agree. I think it's Hurts because of that reason. You got picks, you got a good team, you got a playoff team, and a division and a conference that's winnable. Upward mobility, got to be good right now.
See, the only reason I picked Tua over Hurts was because they already tried to replace Tua. Right? So, like, Hurts can be pretty good. They might just decide to stick with him and try it one more year. Like,
right, that's true.
If Tua's just not – if he's just okay, they're going to replace him because we've already seen them try multiple times. So, yeah, that's the only reason. But, yeah, when I thought about it, those were the first two names that came up with me.
Clifford in Ohio. Clifford, welcome to ESPN Radio. How are you?
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
I think Derek Carr probably has the most pressure on him because he's been almost MVP there type quarterback, but just have never got over the hump. Now he has his quarterback. Now he has his receiver from college. Devontae Adams. So, well, I'm looking for him to try to get over the hump now with the Raiders. I thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you, Clifford. Jordan, I find Derek Carr to be fascinating because if you'd asked me this question, I would not have considered him in the first four or five names. And now, having listened to you and some
because
callers,
you prioritize the money aspect.
Well, but
a lot.
And that's true.
I feel like that's a big part of your line of thinking.
But now I'm starting to be convinced though that there's an entire career defining season type of deal here for Derek Carr.
No, I agree. Yeah, that's why his name keeps popping up because it's like, all right, what is he going to be in his career? Can he get to that next level? And this is the point where, it's kind of, do it or move on.
And he's also kind of always been a little bit disrespected as well. So there's that coming up as well. More with Bart and Hahn coming up next.
Bart and Hahn.
Should the world champs be concerned about their quarterback? And why is this story not bigger?
Yes.
Jordan Renan, Braden Gall here in for the guys, Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Before we give you our opinions, because we're baseball guys, and when I hear elbow tendonitis, I immediately panic as a Mets fan, of course, with the history of that organization. And so I don't know why this isn't a bigger story. So with Matthew Stafford, we'll explain it. We'll give our opinions. But let's let Sean McVay talk first. This was the Rams head coach addressing Matthew Stafford's elbow pain.
There were some things that he pushed through last year. We tried some things in the off season, you know, however you want to look at, you know, some of the different treatments that we had tried. And I don't know that it got different results than what we had hoped, but I think we were hoping that, you know, some of the pain would have been alleviated. And that's really the goal. And so being able to pivot and adjust is kind of what you're seeing. But this isn't something that we're totally off, you know, caught off guard with.
So, Jordan, interesting there from Sean McVay that they're not caught off guard. They've been dealing with it and sort of handling it for months now, but that it hasn't worked. It hasn't been fixed. He's still dealing with the pain. He got an injection in the offseason. How worried are you here about
this?
Yeah,
that's actually what makes the sirens go off for me. Like, the fact that he's been dealing this with since last year, right? So if he's still dealing with it now this year and they weren't able to find a solution in the off season to make sure that it's good. I mean, we're not even through the summer. It's like, at some point, this is going to be something that he's going to have to deal with. Whether that means it ends up being something more serious or not, who knows?
Right.
But it's something that's just not going to all of a sudden go away. They had the off season to try to get it to, you know, to fix it, and it didn't happen. So yeah. What's next? Like, it feels like at some point, Matthew Stafford's going to have to, you know, deal with some kind of elbow injury, miss time, have surgery, whatever it may be. It's just a matter of when that is, how much can he play through it, and at what point is it to the point, does it reach a breaking point where, all right, I got to get this fixed. I got to do something to make sure that this goes away for good.
Right. How serious is the fix going to be? That's the question. Sarah Barshop, ESPN Rams reporter on Freddie and Fitzsimmons this week, talked about why Stafford's injury isn't too concerning to her.
To me, the reason that it would not be concerning is because he played through it last year. And from talking to Sean McVay, it sounds like it's pain. And Matthew Stafford, as Rothstein probably knows pretty well, has dealt with that pain through his career. He's played through injuries like that. So it is concerning. Of course it's concerning. But I think if I was a fan, I would be more concerned if it was something where he couldn't throw or it was affecting his throwing versus he was feeling pain while throwing.
So that was Sarah Barshop there, of course, covering the Rams. Look, I saw this story, and I was like, why is this not a bigger deal? Because as a Mets fan and a baseball guy, you're a baseball guy. When you hear elbow problems and tendonitis and injections, like, you're like, all right, when's the Tommy John story going to drop? Like, that's the first thing you think about if you're a baseball guy.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time before they find something more. Like, that's always the way it is, seems to be in baseball.
No question. A couple things here. Now, number one, Matthew Stafford is one of the toughest football players that has ever lived. Like, that dude has played through incredible injuries and pain. So if it is just a minor, it's not structural damage, right? Like we talk about with pitchers, it's just a little pain. Maybe it's not that big of a deal. But you've had all this time to fix it. And here's the other thing with this. Matthew Stafford throws the football as hard as any human being on the planet. And I am shocked that we have not seen more Tommy John type of injuries with quarterbacks. I know the motion is different. I know it's unnatural. I know it's 95 times every 5 days and, you know, 30 times a year. Like, I get all the data on this. But
he's the Jacob DeGrom.
I am shocked.
Throwing everything at 100.
Are you not shocked that more quarterbacks don't have this problem? And again, we're not doctors here, but I would be very concerned about Matthew Stafford and elbow problems.
Well, absolutely. And I told you, I am concerned. And I think it could shake up the whole entire NFC because – can you even name the Rams backup quarterback? I had to look it up. I'm not going to lie. Do you have a name that comes to mind?
It's got to be Jacoby Brissett. He's the backup for everybody.
John Wolford.
Wake Forest. That's right. Yeah. Pride of Wake
Forest. They have to go in that direction and they have to end up there for a good chunk of games at any point or a significant period of time. I know Sean McVay is a genius, but I'm telling you, we saw they couldn't get over the hump with Jared Goff. If John Wolford's going in there, I think we could start looking at, okay, who becomes a threat in the NFC now? And the NFC, you know, there's not a ton of threats in the NFC to really make the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. I mean, you have the Rams, you have the Packers, You probably have to stretch for a lot of the Bucks, and then you have to stretch for
Cowboys,
a lot of other teams,
maybe?
Like with the Cowboys, maybe the Eagles, like that next level. Because the quarterbacks are like all in the AFC somehow now.
Yeah,
they all shifted over. Like somehow every good quarterback is in the AFC, and when Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers aren't playing, you're going to be like, what's going on in the NFC at this point?
Can you imagine if Brady would have stayed retired and Matthew Stafford gets hurt?
Yeah.
The quality of the quarterback. Like, there's no excuses for Aaron Rodgers at that point. Like, there's just none. Like, you've gone 13-3 three straight years, and now there's no other quarterbacks in the conference that can challenge you 1v1 in a playoff scenario where you've got to go back and forth in a shootout. There's just nobody.
And in the AFC, you look over there, you got Justin Herbert, you got Josh Allen, you got Patrick Mahomes, you got Lamar Jackson, you got Joe Burrow. I mean, you can go on and on. That AFC, the next decade is going to be a beast to get out of.
Yeah, absolutely. Jordan Renan, Braden Gall in for the guys. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Football is back. The most interesting things to watch in the preseason. That is next right here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.